We are now in season 8 of Between Frets. From all of us here, from Fret Sisters, we like to thank you for listening and watching our videos and supporting us since day one.
Hello all, back to another episode of Fret Tea Talk. We are the Fret Sisters. As you can see, we're joined by what we've affectionately dubbed the fellas. I'm gonna have everyone themselves as we talk about analog versus digital. Whoever wants to start, introduce yourselves, we can get this going.
I'm a multi-instrumentalist, audio engineer, producer. I've been doing this since I was engineering stuff since I was in high school. So like since middle school, actually. So I've been this for a while in like different aspects of it, from radio to music.
Technotic here. My producer name's Technotic. Name's Angelo. I produce, make beats, and it's been a hobby and sometimes not a hobby. And I also do remixes. But I know a bit about analog and digital. So.
And Technotic was producer on my recent EP, Original Me, on digital platforms right now. Okay.
You want to plug any music here, Sean? Did he want to go?
He actually did the piano part on my intro and Regaining Love track on my album, Reinvention, but he also helped mix and master the album as well.
Well, let's jump right into this topic, analog versus digital. As you can see, the music landscape has changed, and it has changed again, and now it's back to where it began. Now we have vinyl popular again. I think it was on X, which I affectionately still call Twitter, people are coming out with cassette tapes again as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's any way on those, but cassette tapes are coming out. You have digital streaming and everything like that. So briefly, would y'all tell me why you think the old is new again?
I was going to say something you can hold. It's physical. You know, with digital, and it's one thing I hated when MP3s became popular, a lot of my DJ friends were giving up their record collections because they're like, nah, I don't have to carry crates of records no more. I was like, y'all should hold on to it because it's actually a physical medium. So I think what's happening is that they have more of an attachment to the artists, because they have something, again, that's physical that they can hold, they can look at the artwork, they can read credits, you know, it's a big difference.
Yeah, I think that there's different reasons depending on what generation you're talking about. So like some of my students, some of my younger students that are like young adults are getting back into listening to vinyl. There's actually recommendations on turntables and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I've never really had turntables for listening purposes, so I didn't really know where to collect them. But his whole thing was, just exploring something. It was kind of like exploring something new, and it was just kind of fascinating to him. And how, the whole warm sound, how it sounded different. It was just something, it was a new experience that kind of like he grew up with MP3 because he's young enough that he grew up after CDs were popular. So he did, it's like that experience wasn't even there. He's just discovering it now. But for like the older guys, our generation, 80s, 90s, I think that's more nostalgia that people, have that sentimental aspects to listening to certain formats of music. Like I have no interest in 8-track because I have no memories of 8-track as a childhood, but vinyl, yeah. Cassette tapes, yeah. So, when I see a cassette tape, it triggers something to me. When I see vinyl, it triggers something. When I say 8-track, I'm just like, there's no benefit, there's nothing there for me because there's no nostalgic connection there.
It didn't last long anyway. It's pretty much a failed media.
Yeah, I was just going to ask about the 8-track.
But some people, I think, some people that had the 8-track player, if they saw it, I think they would probably have that same connection to it.
Yeah, it was just a pain trying to
specific songs, remember the specific tracks that they listened to that device.
But the thing with that one was to advance to a song, you had to go all the way through the whole loop. to get to that song again. It was an annoyance. I think it was one of the reasons it wasn't popular. I find one thing interesting, like you said, it's a generation thing, right? So I know there's hipsters, or I don't know, the young generation here that actually have vinyl collection but don't have a turntable. Isn't that crazy? Like they buy it because it's the artwork or whatever, you know.
Vintage. It's the new, you know, it's trending.
Yeah. Nostalgia. Yeah, you're right.
So I have a question that's recording then and now, and the advantages and disadvantages of both.
Obvious is the convenience. You know, there's the obvious convenience difference that, you know, digital provides that analog. You know, there's a lot of extra work that goes with the analog. But actually, like I was experiencing this morning, the downside to that as well is, to the same token, is the digital, you know, because it's computerized, end up with a lot of computer problems. So, you know, a lot of technical issues that I never used to have to, just with a mixer, you know, I never had to deal with certain types. When I turned on an old analog mixer, I knew it was going to work.
Yeah.
When I turned on a digital mixer, it's like, okay, I might have to restart it. I might have to unplug it, the USB, and plug it back in. I might have to, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a lot of issues that can, you know, can come up because of the digital as well.
Yeah, it's the convenience. I mean, also the popularity of, they call it in the box, recording in the box, basically recording out of your computer, is because of the convenience. And the growth of the popularity has put out a lot of studios out of business, because now people are just banging out music from their laptops, basically, from my home computers. That there is a bench, because you can't take a home studio on the plane with you, right? You can take your laptop, and you can, and a lot of producers are doing, DJs and producers, they actually do that because they travel a lot, especially those traveling DJs. They actually producing their tracks even before the show. They're mixing down their tracks, and by the time they land, they're ready to play that mix. So yeah, it is a big convenience as far as quality now. So yes, it is digital. Is what you call sterile, I guess, if you want to label it. Analog is, there's warmth to it because of the, not to get geeky and everything, but because of the circuitry, right? You know, there's tubes in there, or there's components in there that vary. They're not like digital with set zeros and ones. In analog, things are varying and switching. So even with emulation today, like with the plugins, right? They try to emulate tape. Or the reel-to-reel tape sound, they try to emulate it, but it's still one snapshot of that tape machine or that analog equipment, because in reality, that actual analog equipment that they referenced, that they emulated, is varying because of the electronics, because of the temperature of the room, all that takes play in it, and that's what gives it that authentic sound. But now, moving forward into the future here, and lately with AI is actually giving it that analog, it's more close to it, replicating, because it's also giving it that, the change in sound and temperatures and all that, you know, they make it more realistic or you know, more analog than digital.
Is there one that you all prefer?
No, there's
For me, the difference to me is a little bit. I mean, I kind of agree with the way he was describing it, but it's a little bit. I mean, the difference to me is a little bit. I like to use video as an example to describe the difference, because it's easier to see the difference between analog than it is to hear the difference. So if you look, remember, like, you know, like Atari days and Super Nintendo days, everything was locked. You know, but at the same time, a actual video would be a smooth line, right? So as technology grows, those blocks get smaller and smaller, but it's still limited to those, what we call bits. It's divided into bits, right? We're still limited how many to whatever the bits are. While analog has an unlimited potential, because it's just a smooth line from no matter whatever, you know, else goes wrong with it, it's always going to be that somebody can clean up interference, you can clean up everything else. But it has actually has the potential for way higher quality than digital does. Now, the thing is, nowadays, the level of where digital is so high that it's almost impossible to tell the difference. The way that most people are recording nowhere close to the potential of what can be achieved with technology today. I mean, they're up to like 64-bit, 128-bit, bits in music production now with like 206-bit rates.
Bits and also as well. And also as well, sampling rates, right? 196.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's up to like 256 and 300 something now.
Right.
People aren't recording that nowhere close to that high. If they were, it would be like practically impossible to tell the difference between the quality.
Yeah.
Now, what you were saying before with, with the types of signals, in terms of how it changes and stuff like that, and it's not continuous. That is true for a lot of the engineering stuff in terms of like tubes and stuff like that. But in terms of instruments, music and stuff like that, because of the physical modeling, that really isn't even an issue with most instruments anymore, because they recorded that, at each volume, under a whole bunch of different positions, they recorded the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, when it comes to that, they're simpler circuits. But you're right. Like a mixing board, a channel strip on a mixing board is more complicated, and those are hard to emulate. So in fact, there's a plugin company called Plugged In Alliance, and they emulate channel strips. And what they do, in fact, in the plugin itself, you can select from 1 to 64 channels, you can select a different channel, and they all have their own different differences. Very, very minor and hard to hear, but there are differences, because in real life, that's how it is. Also with
but it takes a blind...
Oh yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, if you take a...
So that point is like, does it matter if only the trained ear can hear different?
Right.
And as a, from a business perspective, it doesn't matter to me.
No.
Because my customer can't hear it.
In fact, no, even trained musicians and all that, they can't. When they do a blind test and they play an analog versus digital mix, a lot of times they get it wrong. I mean, most of the times they just get it wrong. You ask them, is this digital? Is this analog? They don't know. It's really hard to tell. And it's like you're saying, the resolutions and the bit rates are so high now that it's beyond the human hearing to distinguish the difference.
Okay, speaking to someone who's totally a novice at this, we all tell the difference between analog effects and VSTs, and also someone mentioned sampling. So what's the difference between actual tape looping? Do those go together?
Oh, well, that's just a form of how to sample. That's just there's way different ways to sample something. That's just one tool. But sampling is just taking an audio clip and reusing it.
And digitize it. So when sampling first came out,
it could be on a tape. That's what I'm saying. It could be on a tape.
Oh, yeah. But if you're talking samplers.
Just taking someone else's audio. Mm-hmm. That's all sampling is, though. There's different tools.
Yeah.
You can just plot tools for it. There's digital tools for it. But analog is difficult. Unless it isn't too hard.
So there was a tape looping back in the day. So the Bee Gees, for example, I think they took the More Than a Woman drum beat for Staying Alive, I believe it was. So for some reason, the drummer could show up to the session. So they said, well, let's take the drum loop from More Than a Woman. Let's speed it up to 120 to disco tempo, or, to the right tempo. And they actually took the physical tape, spliced it up in a loop, and ran it through the reel-to-reel tape, and they created a loop. That's basically, like what came after with sampling, where you sample it and then just, loop it. But yeah, it was a technique that was done before, but it was done in analog.
But that's just an incredibly difficult way to do it.
Actually, it is, because those guys I know in the 80s with freestyle music, dance music, they were doing those edits where they were chopping up the tapes into bars and quarter bar, you know, and half bars, and they were chopping up, and they would have like a board and taped up all these splices of tape, and they would mark, you know, how many bars it is and what part it was, and they would cut it up and splice it all together. And if you ever look at the tapes once it's complete, it's like all botched up. It's just tape. Yeah. But they would do some incredible mixes. And this before you had digital editing, where you can go into a editor and just do that, you know, easily. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my dad used to manage a radio station for me, like when I was a kid. So I grew up watching him do that stuff.
Yeah, that's splicing. It's crazy.
That was my first experience. Was as a little kid, elementary school, you know, taking radio station, my pops watching him edit the stuff down.
Right, it's the same they were doing with analog. Yeah, that's a skill back then. But you know, when digital came out, and then you have software, you could just easily do with software. Yeah, a lot of people don't use that skill anymore. But yeah, I mean, as far as techniques, the analog and versus digital, as far as techniques like tape looping and splicing and all that, there's no difference. It's just a different tool method of doing it. Maybe easier now.
Oh, that won't come back though. Like, would sound quality be a difference if you did it digitally versus if you did it?
Oh yeah, because then you're going back to using analog, you know.
Yeah, and I don't like the whole concept of tape anyway. Deteriorates over time anyway. Mm. Like that's not what I want to put my stuff on. Like that. After a year or so, it's just like after you play it a couple times.
But what I like doing, and a lot of producers now do, is they'll take their mix down, the stereo mix, send it to a reel-to-reel, and then bring it back in to give it that tape warmth or that bump, you know, because if you bump up the input when you're recording to tape, it distorts it in a nice way, especially the bottom end, the kicks, you know, come out nice and crunchy. So like for hip hop, you know, we would do that. We would just do a two stereo mix, send it to the reel to reel, send it back in to get that warmth. And again, you can use a tape emulator, you can use those plugins to do it, but you know, in comparison, it's not going to be the same or quite the same.
Y'all pretty much on and on about this, but as Technotic said, the kids today, they're just collecting to put on their walls. So they have like something on IG to show it behind them. So yeah. Do you all, vinyl and cassette tapes are really coming back, or is it just something for the gram? You know what I mean?
It's definitely made a comeback because, in fact, Jenny's pressing up her EP and if there was a backlog, but that's the case in all these pressing plants because of that. And also the fact that it outsold CDs, because for a long time, CDs was the main media, you know, aside from streaming MP3s, no physical media, CDs was the main media. So I even heard that now a lot of artists aren't even putting that stuff out in CD anymore. It's like a format that's going to be gone.
Yeah, there's no benefit to a CD because it's digital already.
Yeah. So I actually, you know, I prefer CD just from, I guess, I mean, from an engineering aspect.
Better quality.
And I think it's hilarious that... I mean, I love vinyl because I got about 5,000 records, but I think it's hilarious that people are into vinyl now because you can't do nothing about the artifacts of the vinyl, you know, the pops, the clicks, the crackles and all that, the wear and tear, you know, just like tape, you know, there's wear and tear. I mean, you can't do nothing about that, but for some reason they like that. It's kind of like watching those 8mm films and you get all that dust and dirt and grit on it when you're watching it, you know, you can see it on the screen. to me, it's like, well, don't you want to hear the clean version of it? Like, no artifacts, it just nothing added, no pops and clicks.
But that's a perspective thing, because you grew up without it clean first, and then experienced going in, and they experiencing the other way around.
True, you see the popularity of like music trying to get back to that. And I just want to use Silk Sonic as like a example, how they were coming back with like all this like back in the day music, the way that they wrote their music and stuff. But the only problem with their music was that everything was perfect, because back then they did a recording live in the studio and there were mistakes and it wasn't perfect. And there was no click track, where now, you know, when you had Bruno Mars, you know, and, Who was the other guy that's on Silk Sonic?
Anderson.
Yeah, and they, you know, their stuff was too perfect. I mean, it was good music.
What do you think the advantages or disadvantages are as far as AI?
I like where AI is taking all this, because again, if it can emulate analog a lot closer, then that's great.
You don't think that's going to take your job?
It's a tool.
They're tools. From what I've seen of it so far, if you don't know what you're doing, you're still gonna come up with
exactly. Crap. You know, it always comes back. Everybody always complains, like when computers CGI came out and they started doing animation using computers, right? Everybody's like, oh, the animator's gonna lose their job. Not true. Because it is the person behind the tool using the tool. It still has to go back to the talent that's behind all that. You can give them all the tools you want. You can give them, like, Photoshop now has AI. You can give them Photoshop with AI. You give them one person that's skilled, and you give another person that doesn't know what they're doing, that has no skill, and the outcome would be the same regardless of the tool. Right.
FYI, the Photoshop AI is pretty insane, and
yeah, they look nice. But you have to ask yourself one question. This is the way I look at it. If you were gonna go and buy a picture, and you went to Walmart, and there's a really nice picture, and you know you spend $10 on that picture, right? But if you went to an artist to buy a picture, that art is gonna have actual value, and mm-hmm. people are gonna make difference when they look at it right away.
Yeah.
You can tell, no matter how quality that Walmart picture was, you can tell the difference between just a picture and real art. And in the same way, music, you're gonna be able to tell the difference between just something that was thrown together by a bunch of, you know, a computer and someone who was an artist. You can't, mm-hmm. art by definition has emotional, you know, content to it. So without right. that
anytime you look I've watched too many movies about AI, I think this is kind of a good thing. So I see the pluses and I see the disadvantages. You don't think this is an example of where the student can become the teacher? So after a while, you input so much into these machines to where it's like, okay, you've done all this work. We can make it sound unique. We can do these things to make it sound like the person actually touched it. We don't really need you anymore. You don't think that can happen?
Yeah, I mean, it's like robots replacing workers, you know? It happened in the auto industry, right?
Because the machine is only going to use the information that it has learned already. Meanwhile, humans are progressing forward and finding new scales and new theories being added to textbooks. Because they're exploring and they're experimenting, and there's a whole different mentality that goes on between the experiments. You know, someone who's experimenting and someone who's just regurgitating.
Yeah, I like it more as not taking total control and banging out tracks and simulating vocalists or rappers. I'm as a tool for an artist, a musician, a producer, I could see a benefit and a plus in it. Again, like a designer, you know, using Photoshop with AI, they can use it because it's just a tool that they can use to their advantage. It's not going to change the fact that you still need the skill and the talent behind all that. You know,
but, I was looking at some of those. I was just a lot of curiosity with a lot of the AI apps. A lot of the ones that people are really worried about is the ones that, like, you know, you give them a topic and it'll write a song for you and stuff like that. Yeah. But I was looking at them, and like, if you put in a topic and just ask it to write, you know, to give you lyrics, like, you got to sort through it and you got to be like, okay, no, this line really sucks and this sucks. And all you have to go with your own ideas. It's just giving you ideas. It's like, it's not doing the work for you.
But you know, it's going to progress because it's just the infancy of it. The other thing with AI is the more you feed it, the more information you feed it, the more it grows. It's like a kid, right? Right? You're teaching a young kid a talent or something. The more he learns, the more he absorbs. And that's how AI, I mean, because it's all the start of it all. You know, it's interesting. I'm just curious, you know, in the future, how it's going to turn out. It can be good or bad. You know, it could turn to one of those movies, right?
Where, like Megan.
Right. It could be Megan. It could be Terminator. You know what I'm saying? It can go that route too. It can go bad where they take control, right? Or AI takes control. But it can also go the other way, right? You know, again, where artists are using it as a tool, you know, creating something new and different.
That's awesome. A good way of looking at it. Mm-hmm.
Is. I mean, we've touched so many topics and subjects today. And like, in closing, what do you believe the future of home recording is? Do you think it can expand much further than it is? Do you think we'll go back to major companies, or where do you think we stand? Where do you think we'll go from here? I know Jenny did her album, her and Technotic did her album, Original In Me, that's out right now. She did her album. They did dual. Then you do it at home, and then you went to the studio as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were some things that we needed to go to the studio. Like when we recorded acoustic guitars, we just didn't have the quality mics and the quality hookup to be able to do that. We really wanted to go in and get the right mics, the right sound out of the acoustic. So I really wanted like the natural mic sound. And then the same, I mean, I guess it was vocals. We went into the studio to lay down vocals and guitars. I had a song that I needed to re-record at guitars, and we tried it digitally. Like, we did try it in digital, and it just sounded like crap. I was like, nah, man, I need rock guitar. So yeah, you do want it. You will go and you will. I mean, it depends on your preference, but I felt like I'll pay for a studio and I'll pay for an engineer. I'll go in just because that's the sound I want. And I'm not getting it.
I also think, I mean, it depends on the producer, the artist. You know, like, so some artists, if they're doing dance music, EDM, they can just do it all in the box. You know, for what Jenny's doing or styles that are more... you know, rock or R&B or soulful, you may want that sound, so you may want a hybrid, you know, do it in analog and digital. You know, I think in the future it's just going to be a hybrid. I just think people are going to be able to do both, choose both, but most probably just go digital again because it is cheaper to do it in the box.
I mean, I think in terms of analog, recording analog or digital, I think that definitely I agree with them. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be a mix. I personally have a collection of mics because I always, you know, different.
It's good to have a mic closet. They say, right? A mic closet.
You have so much mics that I can't count.
I mean, yeah, because it's necessary. So when I do want a different sound, I have it with me. I don't have to go somewhere. I mean,
I would like a podcast about that.
Yeah, we'll have to do that.
We'll do maybe your mic closet.
Every mic has, you know, they capture a different tone. So
yeah.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, do you have a studio at your place, right? I'm not sure if you're living with Sean.
Yes, we are.
And you do all your recording there? I mean, most of your recording, right, that you put out?
Yeah, all my recording is actually in my apartment.
Your stuff is good, Sean. Your mixes and stuff.
Yeah, you must have the room tuned right with the acoustics and all that.
Yeah, he does all that.
So I have
stuff.
So I have in my gear, I have speaker management right with the auto EQ that I just fine tuned after that.
Sonarworks or Arc?
No, DBX.
Oh, DBX. Cool. Yeah, that's the other advantage of, since this is analog digital topic, that's the other advantage, because you know, with software, you could take a room and the room's acoustics could be bad or not, you know, up to par.
You used to have to acoustically treat the room to get the sounds. Now you can just EQ your gear to tune it to the room instead.
Basically, you're tuning the speaker to adjust for the room inequalities of acoustic hip. So again, you know, there is plus to digital. That's why I feel it's always going to be a hybrid, always going to be a mix. Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, I just want to quickly plug my original me. This is the test pressing that I got to listen to my music on vinyl. It doesn't have the design on it. They just gave it to me so I can put it on a turntable, but here it is. Original me on vinyl, but I'm still waiting.
And Jenny doesn't have a turntable. I'm just kidding. She does.
Well, I don't have a real turntable. I have like something that like you buy in like Walmart or something, you know, that's like cassette and CD player all in one.
And it sounds like everything's coming out of a tin can.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have it yet.
I guess that's my
Well, this was an amazing conversation, fellas. Is there anything else that you all want to hit on for people, you know, who may want to get into music and just focus on analog or focus on digital? You know, any advice or anything like that?
No, you know what I say? Forget this debate about analog and digital. Just produce music. If you're using VST instruments, or if you use an actual synth, which a lot of people are buying again, if you use an actual synth, whatever sounds good on the song, you know, if it works in that song, do it. Again, like Sean was saying, the user, the actual person, the customer, or the person that's listening to the music in the end, they don't care. They ain't really, oh, was that digital? Was that analog? They don't care. If the song's banging, that's all they care about. If they're feeling it, they're feeling it.
Okay, so I know
it works, you know, there's no right or wrong answer, you know, even when you're using particular tools, you know, there's technical ways to use the tools, but there's still, even in that context, there's no right or wrong answer. You do what, you know, to get the sound that you want, you do what you need to do, you use the tool that you need to use.
Exactly. And
y'all have any music you want to plug, any websites, anything?
Well, I've been plugging my stuff.
All the plugs go here.
Hey, show album, show cover, sites, websites, anything?
JennyJam.com is where you can look for my music. And actually, BoogieNation.com.
TheBoogieNation.com, yes. Yeah, look out for that. There's some interesting stuff coming there with house remixes.
Yeah, house remixes.
And house tracks, yeah.
You're playing Technotic?
That's my plug.
Awesome. Right.
I do have some projects coming out soon. But, you know, nothing at the moment with my personal name on it.
That'd be an upcoming plug. I'd be looking forward to listening to it, man, hearing it for sure.
I'm trying to stay in the background as much as possible.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to thank y'all for coming. We have Jonathan and Shorn Marshall. We have Jenny Jam and Technotic with some amazing information. If you want to delve further, definitely do that. But they hit some great points. It's good to nerd out sometimes. So definitely. So, yeah. Fellas, we thank you. Coming. We want everybody to have a great night and a great day. And listen to Fret T Talk.
Thanks later, for y'all. Having us.
Thank Peace. You. Hey, Jenny Jam here. Thanks for tuning in to our latest episode of Between Frets. Keep checking back. We'll have more episodes loaded each week for your listening enjoyment. Peace and love.